You say, aren't we in Genesis on Sunday mornings? And it's, yes, we are. And so you who have been faithfully coming Sunday mornings, you've heard everything I'm going to say here right at the beginning, but it's just a reminder as we spend time praying for our country, for our elections. And in Genesis 9, as we have said in our Sunday morning studies, as we went through Genesis 9, this is where God institutes human government. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 3, he says, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. You be fruitful, multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. So this was the first institution of human government. God gives permission to man to govern man. Specifically, gives permission to man to govern man in the punishment of evil doing. Specifically here in the case of murder. If somebody murders another man, then man has a right to punish that individual, and the punishment is actually capital punishment. But this is where God, it's just the very basic beginning of human government where man is given permission to govern man. Obviously, as you go through Scripture, that human government is more fully developed, but this is where it begins. In that fuller development, you come to Genesis chapter 10, and again, we went through Genesis 10, but you see in Genesis chapter 10 the beginning of nations. As the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, as their families grow and as they have children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, those children become the fathers of nations. Notice it in verse 5 of chapter 10. But these were the borders of the nations, divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. That was the children of Japheth. Then you come over to verse 20, and you have the children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, the descendants of Ham. These are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, and in their nations. Verse 31, the descendants of Shem. These are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations, in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. As we talked about that, this is after the dispersion at the Tower of Babel, when God confused the languages. These fathers of nations spread out across the face of the earth, and nations began after the Tower of Babel. My point tonight is simply this. Nations were God's idea. God established nations. Nations are not a bad thing. Nations were God's idea. And being proud of one nation in a good sense is not a bad thing. God established nations. And so we are here tonight to pray for our nation, for our country, and specifically with reference to the elections coming up. It's not wrong to be thankful for our nation that God has established. In fact, you don't need to necessarily turn to it unless you want to, but you know, you go all the way back to the book of Revelation. Back to chapters 21 and 22 of the book of Revelation. We're in heaven. And guess what? Nations are still talked about in heaven. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 23, this is talking about the New Jerusalem. And it says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did light it, and the Lamb is the lamp of it. And the nations of them who are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. So we talk about getting into heaven, and still nations are spoken of. You get into chapter 22, and now we're specifically in heaven. It says in verse 1, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bore 12 kinds of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." When we get to heaven, nations are still talked about. Nations are not a bad idea. Nations were God's idea. And so we're here tonight to pray for our nation. And God has commanded us to pray for our nation, for our country. And so our first step this evening, we're going to be praying off and on and going back to Scripture from time to time. But tonight, we want to start out by thanking God for our nation. That's a good place to start, with thanksgiving. Thanking God for our country, thanking God for raising up the United States of America, for preserving the United States of America, for the freedoms that we enjoy here in our nation, and the wealth that God has given to us as a nation, and wealth in and of itself is not a bad thing. Men can do bad things with wealth, and man can become greedy for wealth, and the love of money is a root of all evil, but money itself isn't. Wealth is not bad. And God has established our nation and has given us a wealthy nation. And with that wealth, we have sent out missionaries to the uttermost parts of the world. We need to thank God for that. We need to thank God that He established a nation that was wealthy so that we could send out missionaries like no other nation on earth. We have sent missionaries out with the gospel of Jesus Christ to the uttermost parts of the world. We need to thank God for that. So I've asked Lloyd to get us started tonight with prayer, thanking God for the nation that He has established.
We have to give thanks. Test.
We are to give Him thanks in all things. A thankful heart is a content heart. A content heart is a heart that's at peace with God. Are we at peace with God? Are we thankful for all things? Are we thankful for this great country that He has raised up, as Donnie said, for us to live in? The nations are determined by God. And we are one nation under God. We don't supersede over Him. We are under Him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful, or teach us to be thankful for our country. No, our country is not perfect. We've made mistakes. Men are sinners, and they do sin. But we thank You for the country that You've given us to live in. We thank You for the God-fearing men that put together this country at great sacrifice. We pray that You would help us to understand those men who put that together, the Constitution, the Independence, Declaration of Independence. Those documents are powerful documents. And they understood that men were depraved. So they wanted to keep the government small without the power to become tyrants. But they also said, and we thank You for this, that if people are not faith, people of faith, the country will not work. And we see at times we're not faithful, and we can see our country start to fray along the edges. But Lord, we thank You for the faithfulness of those men, the insight You gave them to give us a strong foundation for a place to grow. And it has certainly grown. And You have blessed us beyond all measure with many, many things. As Donna said, we have become very wealthy. We can send missionaries out all around the world, and many souls have been saved because of that. We can help people in our own country with the needs that they have. And the key is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ so people's lives can be changed, so they learn to love You and love each other. Not in a superficial love, but a love that comes from God. For God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son. We need to remember that whosoever believes Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What a sacrifice the Father made that we could have eternal life. And He put us in a country that's free to believe that and to worship our God and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ from here to all over the world. What we need is the gospel. We won't worry about social justice and those kinds of things. What we need is the gospel of Jesus Christ that teaches us to love others as God has loved us. And that's a powerful love that transcends all things. He teaches us to love our enemies, for he loved us. In our sinful state, we were enemies of God. And yet, he still loved us enough to send his son to die for us. And we, in turn, need to love each other that way, because none of us are perfect. None of us are better than anybody else. We all need the gospel of Jesus Christ, the life-changing power of the Spirit, the sanctification of the Word. We thank you so much that you've put us in a country that allows us to teach these things and to live these things. Help protect us and those freedoms, Lord, because there's some in this country who want to take those things away. And we see how brothers and sisters in Christ are persecuted around the world from people who are threatened by God. We thank you so much, Lord, for the witness those folks have. They stand strong in their faith. They witness to their guards and their in their prisons. And that may be waiting us too, Lord. We pray that you would strengthen us and prepare our hearts for what lies ahead. Always with a thankful heart. Always with a thankful heart to a God and his great sovereignty who has blessed this country beyond all measure. We do pray for the upcoming election, Lord. It has a potential to be twisted and to be frauded and all these things. But we pray, Father, that it won't outdo you. You're still in control. Men will do what men will do, but you will do what you will do. Once your hand is moved forward, who can stop it? So we pray, Father, that we would continue to pray for our leaders, pray for our president, pray for those who represent us in the Congress, pray for our Supreme Court. All these things, Father, we put before you, for we are one nation under God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
In you in prayer tonight, I want to also spend some time praying for our military. And I just thought it would be good to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and a couple of verses there. This is when Judah, when Jehoshaphat was the king, Judah was being attacked by three other city-states, and they knew they were outnumbered. And Jehoshaphat turned to the Lord in prayer. We just thank the Lord for our country, for raising us up and preserving us for the freedoms that we enjoy. But it's our military that has helped preserve our nation. And so in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them some of the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some who told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There comes a great multitude against you from beyond the sea on this side of Syria, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. They came to seek God's help militarily against this invading army. And as you know, the story as it goes forth, Jehoshaphat prays a wonderful prayer here, and he basically says, "Lord, we're outnumbered. We don't know what to do. Our eyes are on you." Just desperately pleading with God to spare them as a nation. And God did. And so I've asked Mark Ross to come and pray for our military and thank the Lord for our military as we have been preserved in our nation.
Let's pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come before you tonight and talk to you about and thank you for all the tremendous blessings that you have given us as a nation. I think of the military, especially over the years. If we have avoided in the world another world war after World War II, and it is no small reason because of the power of the United States. And we know that we are powerful militarily because of you. You have blessed us financially and with the ability to develop a large military, a sort of police force in the world. And we know that with that responsibility, you have provided peace for us. But we also, as we in our conflicts, there's always been a time where we had to turn to you and to trust you as a nation because we weren't the outcome of the battle was possibly in doubt at times. So we know that the power that we have militarily is directly related to you giving that to us as a nation. I'd like to pray tonight for the safety of our military right now in the world that we have various places that they are in harm's way, possibly. Maybe not directly, but there's always that danger. In the Middle East, we also have various bases around the world that, again, act as a protective force, but there's always danger there. We pray for their safety as they serve. We also pray for their families, that the unsung heroes, Lord, that have to be home or they have to wait behind as their loved ones go into battle, possibly, or they're just far away from home, possibly for months at a time, and they don't know how things are going at every moment. And that burden that they bear is a silent burden, but they bear it. And we pray for them, even tonight, as they bear that, that you would help them to trust you, that you have taken care of their loved ones. We thank you for the willingness of the military to serve. We know it's a voluntary thing. It's not conscripted service. They don't have to do that, Lord. And we know that it's a tremendous pride for them and that they have set aside their lives for a time stateside to do this. We ask that you would, again, keep them safe as they serve and bring them home safe. We also pray for the National Guard. We specifically pray for John Mark Terblanche as he serves with them, and they provide security for the upcoming election, Lord. We know that there is a lot of hostility and hatred between many individuals, and the outcome of the election could really bring that out. We pray that you would keep him safe and the members of his unit safe as they strive to keep peace in our nation as we go through this election. We ask that you would give them safety. We pray, Lord, that you would act in this election according to your will, and we ask that you would keep the military safe. In Christ's name I pray, amen.
Thank you.
Let's sing again. Turn in your hymn book to hymn number for my notes. I guess I'm going to have to wing it. Romans 13, of course, is a very familiar passage when it comes to submitting to our government authorities. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. We talked about that on Sunday night. God puts in place those whom he desires to be leaders in our country. Whosoever therefore resists the power resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. That takes us all the way back to Genesis chapter 9. The first basic foundation for human government was to punish evil. And so Paul mentions that here. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will you then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to you for good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid. for he bears not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, an avenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. As I read that, I couldn't help but think of our law enforcement. They're going through a very difficult time right now with everything going on in our nation. And our police officers have been very much maligned. Cries to defund the police. They are blamed for all kinds of things. And this tells us that they bear not the sword in vain. I believe our law enforcement fits into that category as ministers of God for good. And so we want to be supportive of our law enforcement. Is every police officer perfect? Are there some that are not right? Of course so. Again, we are sinners. But overall, our police force needs our support. They deserve our respect. They certainly need our prayers. And so I've asked Glenn Shanks, I believe, Glenn, to come and just spend some time praying for our law enforcement during these difficult times. And they're going to be called upon next Tuesday, no doubt, as we recognize John Mark is being called up with his National Guard unit specifically for security during these times of elections. And who would have thought that in the United States of America we were going to have to call up the National Guard for security at the time of an election? But that's where we are as a nation, and law enforcement will be involved as well. So we've asked Glenn to come and pray for our law enforcement.
Dear Father, I am so thankful for that scripture that John just read in Romans chapter 13, because it leaves no room for confusion. It leaves no room for understanding that we as a nation, as municipalities, as towns, that we need to have law enforcement. And Lord, as Donna just mentioned, every day now with what's going on in our country, it is becoming more and more questionable, and people are questioning standards. You said in your word that men will call evil good and good evil, and when they change the standard, Lord, they are changing a standard that you ordained. Lord, we are just in awe that this is happening. But Lord, I think too of personally that each of us here know people. We know some people who are in law enforcement, who have been in law enforcement, who have been police in towns, and who have been state police. And Lord, they need our prayers, and they need our help, and they need us to conform. And Lord, first of all, we do pray for their safety. Lord, I not only think of just their safety, but I'm thinking that many of these men and women are coming home to their families, and their wives and their husbands and their children are probably wondering, what is tonight going to be like, or what is today going to be like? And Lord, they're stepping out because not only is their job to do it, but because of their convictions. And Lord, I pray that you'll protect them. Lord, we pray that our law enforcement won't break down with what's happening in our nation, that they'll stand firm. Lord, I'm even thinking of what happened in Philadelphia with the car that drove right at the policeman and put him in the hospital. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will cause these people who are condoning evil to step down and step away from these situations and realize that you are an almighty God, and they need to answer to you someday. And we pray for, Lord, for them to be kept safe and for these kind of things not to continue. And, Lord, we pray for their families. We just think as their families are out there wondering each day what's going to happen. And they got to become more skittish, and especially, as Donna mentioned, with the election coming up, what is going to happen with that? We don't know, but we pray that it won't be as bad as it could. And we want to say too, Lord, to step into this kind of service, there has to be a willingness for these people to do this, to serve. And Lord, that's exactly what they're doing. It's a thankless job. And they are serving, and they're serving to keep us safe. They're serving so that our children can still play in the streets. and so that we can still drive down the road, and so that we can still go to the store, and Lord, that we can go with confidence to these places and realize that we live in America. And we just pray, Father, that you'll continue to be with these policemen. Please watch over them. And we pray, Lord, that these people will get the respect they deserve. It's just terrible to think that when these kind of riots start up and these kind of things happen, that these police are not given the respect. We as a country don't seem to be giving the office of our president respect and our other offices respect. And Lord, the nomination of the new justice respect. And why would we give police respect? And Lord, I pray that you'll convict our hearts as a nation to turn around in this. And Lord, I pray our people will stand forward and realize that and be bold about it, that we need to respect who these people are. The talk of defunding the police and everything else, Lord, this we pray that this will quit. And we pray, Lord, that you will bless us as a nation and help us through this election. And as was said, help us to accept the things that you have set before us. And Lord, most of all, also as was said, we know you are in total control. And we know that as long as we seek your will and continue in that way, that we know we're under your protection and guidance, and we know our law enforcement is as well for those people who respect you. Once again, we thank you for this reading in Romans 13. Thank you, Lord, that you established it. And we love you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
On Sunday night, we spent some time in Daniel chapter 4. I want to read that once again as well. Daniel 4 is Nebuchadnezzar's testimony, king of Babylon. When God had to bring him low, he was lifted up with pride. He thought that it was his kingdom. He thought that it was because of his majesty, because it was his power. And for 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar, in essence, lost his mind. And this chapter 4 is his testimony. And after 7 years, he finally turned to God and acknowledged God as the one who rules in the kingdom of men. And that was the whole purpose of what Nebuchadnezzar went through, that he would come to realize that God's in control. And in Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. He gives it to whomsoever he wills and sets up over it the basis of men. God rules in the kingdom of men. He gives it to whom he wills, or he, as we said Sunday night, he appoints. God doesn't give his kingdom to anybody. He doesn't give a nation to anybody. But he does appoint leaders over nations, but they serve under him. And our elections on Tuesday, that's what it's all about. We are choosing our next president, and we are choosing some senators, and we're choosing some other local officers and so forth. But we are choosing whom we desire to be in those positions, but ultimately, they serve under God. First of all, he rules. Secondly, we understand that God will place in those offices whom he chooses. That's God's sovereignty. We have a responsibility. As we said before, we don't fully understand how that all works together, God's sovereignty and human responsibility. We have a responsibility to vote and to do everything we can to make sure that the one elected is elected and is going to follow the word of God. But ultimately, God is going to put in place whom he wills. And therefore, we have to be satisfied with whomever that is. We need to respect that office. As 1 Peter tells us, we need to honor the king or honor the president, whoever that may be. And there have been some over the last 4 years who have been part of the resistance. They've never accepted President Trump as their president. That can't be us. regardless of who is elected next Tuesday. That can't be us. Whoever's elected is our president, whom God puts in place, and we need to respect that office. That doesn't mean we agree with everything the president does. Doesn't mean that we can't stand up for what we believe is right, but we do need to respect the president and the office, no matter who it might be. And so our next three gentlemen who are going to be praying are going to be praying specifically for the elections on Tuesday. And so the ones that I have given that to, not sure, I can't even remember who it was. Greg, I think, is one, and Mark. So, Mark, you want to go first? Greg, you can follow. And
our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for reminding us in Daniel that you ultimately are in control. You've appointed our leaders under you, that they shall look to you for your guidance. Help us to pray for our leaders. Help always remind us that we might not agree, but that they report to you, dear Heavenly Father, and you are in control, dear Heavenly Father. Guide us as we have the elections this next Tuesday. Help them to be fair. Help them not to have any fraudulent activity in the polling places. Help those that get elected to be done so with the majority of your people that you have allowed to vote for them. We thank you that we do have the freedom to elect our officials here in this country. We thank you for those that founded our country, that it was based on you, on your word. We thank you for the writers of the Constitution, that it also was based on the morals and the fundamentals set forth in the Bible, dear Heavenly Father. And we thank you that they gave us freedom of religion. Help us not ever to be persecuted for that, but we understand that in the end times, Christians will be persecuted, dear Heavenly Father, and help us to face that in your name, dear Heavenly Father. Guide us as we have the elections. Help them to be secure. Help those that do win the elections to be applauded for that. Help them to not to look down on those under them that may have lost. Help them also to be fair in their regard to the elections, dear Heavenly Father. And as a result of the elections, help us to remain free as a country. Help us to remain to have the freedom of public worship, public prayer. We thank you again for the rights that you have given us and that we report to you, and you are ultimately in control, and we trust you for that, dear Heavenly Father. Guide us, speak through us, and let your will be done this coming Tuesday. In your name we pray. Amen.
Father, as we continue to pray to you tonight, we have heavy hearts for our country. We understand that we actually were supposed to be in control of our country, we the people. We have, over many centuries, actually abdicated our responsibilities. We forgot that it was not only we have rights, but we had responsibilities to see that we elected good people who, well, first and foremost, recognize you as the Creator God of the entire universe. We know that you are in control. We understand that in many ways what we're experiencing in our country, we've certainly been coming a long time, and that we bear, each one of us, some responsibility for it ending up where it seems to be headed. But having said that, Lord, we're grateful that you have given us this country, and that for most of our existence, certainly here, we have lived in peace. We haven't had to worry about our homes being attacked, or we're certainly grateful throughout our history that you have, your hand has led us through our dark nights when we were at war with one another, and when we were the great world wars, and all through our history, Lord, you, those were the times, I think, when you used those conflicts to bring us back to you. We recognize that in our own lives, Lord, that quite often the things that we really don't like, and the things we can't understand why you would let them go that way in our own lives, often, once we get the perspective of history, we understand what you were doing, and that it was ultimately what we needed. It was good for us. It made us grow. It drew us closer to you. Lord, we want to pray for our president, our leaders. We ask, Lord, that they would be humbled before you and to understand your leadership, that you are in control and they are only your instruments. And Father, we look, as with the elections on the horizon, that irregardless of what happens, that you are in control. You have a plan. Yes, we do have responsibilities. Give us the strength and your spirit to do so in a way that glorifies and honors your name. Help us to be good citizens. Help us to feel your spirit so that we do not embarrass your name. We want to honor you and glorify your name. You've given us human government for a purpose, and all any of us really want is to be able to love and worship you freely and to raise our families, our children, our grandchildren in peace, and to have good and honest work to do with our hands to make a living for them and to provide for them. And Lord, help us to recognize that some of those that we would see as opposition are, well, I heard earlier today that actually the opposite of good is not really evil, but it's quite often in Hebrew literature, it's fool, which is simply what we all were before you brought us to yourself, and that you allowed your son to be sacrificed on our behalf, that we could be brought to you and reconciled with you. We were all fools before then, and I am grateful that you, thankful that you have done that for us. Father, help us to be a light in the community. The more turmoil there is around us, the more brightly a real light should shine. Help us to be those lights, those that would bring peace and tranquility to those who are sometimes even just ravaging against you. Father, we thank you for this nation. We thank you for your hand in its founding. Help us never forget that it was founded in hours and hours of prayer by faithful men. Let us never forget the power of prayer and to understand that Yeah, we wish only to be instruments of your will, Father. So we thank you for your love and your peace. And we thank you certainly for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. That's in his name.
Father, we thank you for the privilege it is to be here. We don't want to take it for granted that we can be here physically. We know there's a lot of people in our church body that would love to be here tonight that can't, so we want to thank you for that. Father, thank you that we can come to you. I read recently of somebody had written that the most awesome thing is when a mere human being can talk to the creator of the universe and be heard. And we just thank you for that privilege. Father, we thank you for the privilege of voting. We get weary of all of the ads and all of the talk, but we should not take for granted the fact that we can go and vote and know that our vote is going to be counted, and we do literally have a say in the selection of who our next leader is, and we thank you for that. That is a gift that is not experienced everywhere in the world today. And we thank you for that. And we pray that along those lines that the votes that are cast would be counted, the ones that have been cast already would be counted, and there would be no fraud, and that it would be a safe and secure election. And Father, we just ask that no matter who you determine to lead us, that they would recognize that we are and have been a free country. And there's a lot of stuff talked about and promised, and it scares some of us sometimes at some of the things that are being thrown around. But I just pray that no matter who is chosen, that they would ultimately realize this is America. It's a land of the free. And that we would still be free, Father. Pray for unity among believers. This election, it seems like, has damaged the unity, as there are your people on each side. And I just pray that we would be gracious to each other, loving to each other, realizing, Lord, that you have a greater purpose than just who is the President of the United States. Father, I pray for peace. I think about what Jesus told his disciples, and I think it applies to us also. He said, I leave you with a gift that the world cannot give. That is peace of mind and peace of heart. And Lord, how much we need the peace of mind and peace of heart. Help us to realize that we are not going to get peace of mind and peace of heart from the election, no matter what it goes. Father, Jesus said that it's a gift that the world cannot give. Help us to look to you for that peace, and we pray for that peace in our hearts and our minds. Father, that we would be settled in our hearts and in our minds as we interact with people, that we would be calm and not anxious. You tell us not to be anxious for anything, and that includes an election. Thank you for that peace. Thank you that those who know you have experienced that peace. And I just pray that we ultimately would be looking to you for our peace of mind and our peace of heart. Thank you again for the privilege it is to be your children. Lord, thank you for rescuing us from the kingdom of darkness and placing us into the kingdom of the Son you love. In his precious name we pray, amen.
And we'll turn to hymn number 452, My Country Tis of Thee. I'm sorry, 552, 552. Let's sing My Country Tis of Thee. first and last verses, 552.
My country 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. Our fathers, God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God our King.
In 1 Timothy chapter 2, we read, I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Commanded to pray for the king, the president, those that are in authority. Specifically in the context, we can certainly pray for their salvation. It says he'll have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And we want our leaders to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. We want to be able to lead that quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And so as we close out our service tonight, I've asked Howard to come and specifically pray, again, regardless of who wins, to pray for our leaders, president, senators, congressmen and women, local authorities, first of all, that they would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, and that we would continue to be able to lead that quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So Howard, come and close us out with prayer.
Father, I just want to thank you for this service that we just had and the prayers that went up. Father, thank you for this privilege that we in this nation can meet like this. We have the freedom to do this. We got a little taste this year with the COVID, how quickly our freedoms can vanish. And Father, none of us would have ever imagined a year ago what we've just gone through this year. And Father, we don't know what's coming up next week. And Father, that's why I'm so thankful that we know that you know. You're a sovereign God, the creator of the universe. You know the end from the beginning. And we're your children. And we can rest in that. And we can have the confidence that you are sovereign. And Father, I just pray that you would be with those that are running. Father, that we know that the ones that you put in power are the ones that are in your plan. Father, we also realize that there are a lot of people that seem to be scheming and working behind the scenes and trying to drum things up. And Father, we just pray that that will fall back on them, just like the book of Esther, where Haman was scheming and planning a great way to get rid of the Jews, and it backfired and turned out to be a great victory for the Jews. Father, we just ask that our elections will be fair, that you know, they won't be fraudulent. We ask for a peaceful time next Tuesday. Father, we pray that the military will not have to get involved, that the police will not be in conflict, that the folks that are voting will be safe. Father, we wonder how our nation could have gotten to this point when we look back over its history. But Father, I can't help but feel that as a church in America as a whole, we have really left our country down. I believe that we have stepped back and would rather be comfortable than get out of our comfort zone. Father, we need to be that salt and that light. And I just don't know how much we really have been bold in our testimony. The only way our nation can be healed is through Jesus Christ. And the only way the people of this nation are going to know Jesus Christ is by us telling them and being a witness to them and living the lives that are different than those that are around us that are not Christians. And Father, I just pray that you would help us to realize that we need that boldness. We need to have that witness. Father, I read it somewhere that the only thing that for evil to take over is for the righteous to do nothing. And I'm afraid that as the Church of America, we're guilty of too many decades of doing nothing. And Father, I just ask your forgiveness for that. Father, we repent that we have got ourselves in this state. And Father, we ask that you would move in a mighty way. Pray for revival in our country that could start right here in Towanda and start with me. But Father, I just pray that you will help us to realize that hard times could be coming. You know, persecution could just be, you know, over the horizon. But Father, we realize that no matter what, that you are our God and we can trust you. And we just thank you and praise you for that. Thank you for this country. Thank you for the freedoms that we have. Thank you that we are able to vote. Thank you that we have the ability to put into office the ones that we feel are the best to serve us. And Father, we realize that our nation in this world is second to none. And it's only because of you and your blessing on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Glad you came tonight. I trust it's been a blessing to you. For those who've joined us online, we're thankful that you've joined us, and we just wish you a great week, and may God bless you, and may God bless each of you. As we sign off, I do want to just make a couple of announcements. First of all, on your prayer sheet, you'll notice some new